So beginning 2013, I went to India for the first time. We took a team along, and I really felt God lead us to pray for sick people. So I told the pastors via email, guys, we want to preach the gospel of Christ, and we want to pray for the sick. I didn't tell them that we didn't know at all what we're doing, and we hope no one dies, but we just felt that we want to pray for people. We want to pray for them to be healed. So anyway, it was the first Sunday evening in India, small little venue, and it was packed out with Indian people standing into the streets. And they all, it was a buzzing. They were like wanting to see what's happening. So I preached my heart out. And at that time, we saw about four people healed in 2012. My wife was healed of two conditions. But otherwise, we haven't really seen much. So I preached who Jesus is, Savior and Healer. And the Indians, extremely religious people, you know. So they like just add, you know, another God. Add Jesus to all the other millions of gods that they have. But I was proclaiming that Jesus is above every other thing, every other God. He is the way, the truth, the life. And now was the moment we had to now demonstrate this. So the people lined up and I had my cue and we had cues in front of our team members. And the first guy in front of me was a guy in a wheelchair. And I was like, no, where's the headache guy? I wanted something simpler, Lord. So I prayed for the guy in a wheelchair. Nothing happened. Didn't feel the presence of God. I was like, this is going to be the longest night of ministry I've had in my life because there's a lot of people to pray for. But the second person I prayed for was a young boy, about 8 years old. He was born mute. He hasn't spoken in his life. His mom was standing next to him. He had darkness in his eyes. He was lifeless. And I went on my knees before him, and I was reminding my own son that was about 5 or 6 years old at the time. My heart broke for this boy. And then I prayed. I prayed in the name of Jesus. I commanded the darkness to go and release healing. And I was shocked. It worked. He spoke for the first time in his life. He said hallelujah many times. He said Jesus many times. And in the next moment, just felt like the presence and the power of God flooded through that auditorium, through that venue. Many people were healed. They felt the fire of God's healing power on their bodies. It was incredible. It was a night I'll never forget. You know, and I remember that evening, later that evening, back in our place we were staying, I was crying. I was so thankful. Like, okay, so I'm not insane believing that Jesus still heals. You know, we had deaf ears opening up. We had bodies physically healed. It was an incredible night. And then I asked God, Lord, so which of the gifts of the Spirit do you have for us? Because tonight was so amazing. I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, all of it. All of it. And that blew my mind because I realized it's not like God is poor. He doesn't have a poverty mentality like, oh, I'm going to give you a little crumb. I'm going to give you a little crumb. No, he's made all of the gifts of the Spirit available to all of us. And when you have the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life, you can move in any of the gifts at any time. Yes, we can maybe specialize in certain gifts more than others, and we can develop certain anointings or graces more than others. But in principle, when you're baptized in the Spirit, you can move in the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, so I want to encourage you, pursue them more and step out. So now in this session, I want to speak to you about the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to tackle the nine gifts of the Spirit. We're going to look at practically what they could be and how you could function in them. And I also want to emphasize this, that the infilling of the Spirit, you know, is you need to be full of the Spirit. Sometimes we think because I pray in tongues, I am full of the Spirit. No, you're not necessarily full of the Spirit. There's more. So pursue a daily infilling, a daily fullness of the Holy Spirit. Don't stop and say, well, that's enough. No, there's more. Believe that there's more. Okay, so how's this relevant to us? Ephesians 1:13, it says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is the seal of the new covenant in Christ. It's the sign that you are a true follower of Jesus, that you're in covenant with Christ. The Lord comes and he seals us with his Holy Spirit. So this means that we receive the Holy Spirit in our lives as part and parcel of our new relationship with God. So it's not just, I give my life to Jesus and that's it. No, you're born again, and then the next phase is be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit as a lifestyle. Okay, so that's very important. As a lifestyle, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible states that the Spirit is a pledge or a deposit of the glory that is to come. In other words, when the Holy Spirit fills us and we experience God, tangible presence that's close to us, intimate presence, we receive a taste of what waits for us in eternity. So it's tasting heaven when you experience God, okay? So pursue that. As I said previously, there's no high like the Most High. Everything you're longing for is found in Christ.
Take 10 minutes to reflect on and discuss this session's key Bible passage together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the key Bible passage by yourself.
So let's look at our key passage. 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led." And then he basically speaks about that, you know, speaks about the same spirit. Just go a little bit further down. It says, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." So it says, to each, that means you, to each one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, not for ourselves, but for the common good, for the blessing of others. And then he names, at least there are at least 9 gifts of the Spirit, and he lists the 9 here. It says, "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues." So he names the 9. Then he says, "All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit." It's not different spirits, one Holy Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So it's God, by the Holy Spirit, determines ultimately how we will move in the gifts, but you need to desire it and pursue it. It says a little bit later on, "For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." And I want to encourage you to daily be filled, to drink of the Spirit that God fills you up. I'm going to jump a little bit lower down. It says, "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues." So God has given this to the church. And in the very last verse in 1 Corinthians 12, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." You see, sometimes we read the previous verses there, it seems like, well, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? And the answer is no, everybody isn't. And I don't know, but people love to read these verses from a poverty mentality. It's like, oh, you see, it's not for everyone. But no, read that last verse. It says, "Earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you more, still a more excellent way." The key is to desire. And as it says, each one can have access. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you can move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So in the previous session, we discussed how the principle of setting can add depth and understanding reading the text. Now, here's another example of this. Paul writes the great passages of the spiritual gifts to the Corinthian church. From the letter, we can see that the church itself had a great feel for the spiritual gifts and evidently practiced them. Now, Paul is giving instructions on the right use of the gifts more than explaining what the gifts are. You see, there were divisions and immorality in the church. There were an abuse of the gifts, and Paul is bringing correction. And it's critical because he says 1 Corinthians 12, it's about the gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 is about the gifts of the Spirit and tongues. And then 1 Corinthians 13 is about love. And he packages it like that for a very specific reason. You see, the gifts of the Spirit is about bringing glory to Jesus. It's not about making us look good. I often say we're just donkeys. Without God, we can do nothing. But when His presence rests upon us, it is an invasion of God. It's like God floods in, moves in, changing lives. All the glory, all the focus must be on Jesus. I must say, the meetings when my heart burns to only bring glory to Jesus, it's like, don't see me, guys, just see Jesus. Then He moves more than at any other times. And this is where we need to be filled with the love of God. We need to know that the gifts and who we are, you know, it's not about performance. It's not about impressing people. My fulfillment is in knowing Him and seeing Him glorified. So allow God to heal you and restore you. Don't strive. Don't try to impress. The focus is on loving people and glorifying Christ. Okay. The gifts are given to serve other people and to build up the body of Christ. So this is very important to understand. The purpose of the gifts is for others, not for ourselves. And then Paul moves into 1 Corinthians 13, and he says there, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And I've been in meetings where it seems like the people are just wanting to impress you, and they just are after the power for themselves. You don't feel loved. It's not edifying. It doesn't build you up. The mission must be to love people. The miracle is in God's hands, but loving people is in your hands, in my hands. Our focus is love. God does the miracle. Okay. It says there also, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Yeah, I've seen people abuse the gifts. I've seen people abuse the Holy Spirit for their own glorification. And I've seen people do it with a lack of wisdom and a lack of balance. The result is people run away from the Spirit then, because it just freaks them out. So they actually pull away from the greatest gift that God can ever give us, Himself, His Holy Spirit. So we need to be wise, we need to be loving, and we need to be kind, and we need to be humble in the way that we move in the gifts. It says, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Focus on loving people. The use and application of the spiritual gifts must be motivated and strengthened by love. You know, so often when I minister, I share with people, God loves you. And then we pray for them, and then they get healed, and then the tears run down their faces, and they're like, they didn't believe that God would heal them, and here they get healed or they get set free. And then I tell them, hey, you see, God loves you. Evidence of His love. We know in the Scriptures God loves us. We know He is love, but when that miracle comes, it is extra evidence that He truly loves. So love people. I remember one time I was at a church ministering, and at the end of the service, I was praying for a lady with eyesight problems, and man, prayed for a long time for her. She could hardly see anything, and she wasn't healed. But she then later told her pastor that she's never felt as loved as during that time. And see, and that's the one. Love people, the miracle is in God's hands. Okay, so let's look at this. The different gifts, the 9 gifts, they can be categorized in three groups. And I want to encourage you to make the gifts of the Spirit part of your daily walk. In other words, there are ways where you can daily practice. Daily, like in your prayer times, just ask God for a word for somebody, and then you practice prophecy. Or daily in your walk with God, ask God to come and lead you in something, and you develop the gift of moving in wisdom and so forth. Okay, so practice, step out, and also expose yourselves to people who are moving in these gifts, and you can receive an impartation. That's just how it works. Get exposed to prophetic people. You will increase in your prophetic grace that's on your life. Okay, so the first group, the spoken gifts. The spoken gifts are supernatural ways of expressing the mind of God in a situation. So the first one, word of wisdom. Now, I love the word of wisdom because I have many times made wrong decisions and then it blows up in my face. And I've learned over the last while, I can almost feel like I lose my peace. I'm like, something isn't right. So then I would pray and say, okay, God, so how would you handle this very difficult counseling situation? And then it's amazing. It's just like a thought drops into your heart, an idea, and you learn over time that's the Holy Spirit. Like, do it like this, and then you do it like that, and it works like a dream. A word of wisdom, and we see many examples in the scriptures as well. Second one, word of knowledge. The gift of the word of knowledge is when God supernaturally reveals information or facts to a person about someone else. You know, when we receive a word of knowledge, it reveals to people the reality of God, and it unlocks their heart to further ministry. So one time I was praying for a lady, and she was, every time she would worship God, she would feel a coldness come upon her. And so I prayed for her because obviously something wasn't right. It was a demonic influence. And so as I was praying for her, the Holy Spirit said to me, she was raped. So I didn't just tell her, hey, God says to me, you were raped. I just prayed. And then the Lord gave me a prophetic word for her that he was with her in that difficult, dark moment of her life. Oh, so she was just weeping and weeping. And I led her to forgive. And then she was set free. And she then said to me, a family member, close family member, raped her. You know, so that's just such a God moment. It reveals to her, God sees, God loves, and he wants to set you free right now. So that's beautiful. Earlier this year, just before one of our Sunday services, I felt the Holy Spirit whisper this in my heart, say to me, today I am healing backs. So I just had a word. I was like, okay, God, that's what you're going to do at the end of worship time. I called it out. I said, guys, I feel God's going to heal backs today. Those with back problems, come forward. And there was this one guy, his name is Erlen, about 6 weeks before that, he's like 50-something years old, and he picked up a heavy log, and he twisted his back, and man, he just ripped something there in his spine, in the muscle. So 6 weeks of hell. He went to the chiropractor many times, and he was battling with pain. I couldn't sleep, couldn't sit. There was 6 weeks of hell. And I looked at him and said, man, today God's going to heal you. I felt that, you know, the Lord's going to heal him. And so they prayed for him at the end of worship. Some other people came forward. A power of God came upon this one lady, more than 40 years of back problems. She could hardly walk 20, 30, 50 paces without having to stop and rest because of all the pain in her hips and her back. She was instantly healed there that day. And so they prayed for Erlen, and he said the pain got worse. So he went and sat down right through the sermon. He said he wanted to die. So much pain. It went worse than before. So at the end of the service, I was praying for some people, and I just felt the Holy Spirit say again, pray for Erlen again. So I called him. I said, man, come pray. Oh, I want to pray for you. And I led him into a few things. Enemy was lying to him about some stuff. Led him in forgiveness of himself. And the next moment, Jesus touched him, completely healed. It's now 8-9 months later, still healed. Praise God. Jesus heals, but the word of knowledge reveals to you something about somebody and what God is doing. So make this your habit. Ask this question, God, what are you doing today? What are you going to do? What are you doing in my workplace? God, what are you doing in the service? God, what are you doing in my small group? God, what are you doing today? And then partner with God. So then, thirdly, various kinds of tongues. We've touched on some of this. You know, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, a spirit man receives the ability to pray or speak in heavenly or other unknown earthly languages. Now, it's important to say there are different kinds of tongues. The one type of tongue is your prayer language, where your spirit prays to God. We believe this is for every believer. But it's not necessarily for every believer to pray or to speak in human languages supernaturally, although it is possible, but obviously everyone won't necessarily flow in that. Now, the prayer language is really special. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, 14 says, for 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him. But he utters mysteries in the spirit. So your spirit speaks to God. You don't understand a word, but it builds up your spirit and strengthens you. And so the one time we had a pastor summit, and it was the last day. I was actually off that day. I was supposed to minister. And Holy Spirit woke me up before 3 in the morning. Doesn't happen often, this is rare. But before 3 that morning, it was one of those moments that, you know, I'm not going to go back to bed again. I'm going to now pray for the rest of the morning. So, prayed the whole morning, went to Pastor Summit. We had an epic time in worship. And during worship, I was just, we were singing in the spirit, in our prayer language, and just proclaiming in tongues. And that one moment, I was proclaiming the same few words over and over again. I sang Vera Mas. Vera Mas, Vera Mas. And I was, man, that is not a heavenly language. That's a human language that God is speaking. So I went into Google Translate. I typed in Vera Mas, and it is Spanish. And to give you some background, one of the themes of my life is that there is more. There's more. Pursue more. And I've been speaking to the pastors the week about, guys, there's more. Let's go for more of God. And then there's Vera Mas in Spanish. It means you will see more. Man, I was just blown away. It's such a moment, a prophetic moment for the Shofar Church as God is inviting us into more. So it was a prophetic word in Spanish. God is saying, guys, I have more for you. And I want to speak this over you right now, that God has more for you because He loves you. He's made all of it available to you. All of Him is available. But you need to seek, you need to ask, and you need to step out in faith and trust that God's going to speak to you and work through you. Okay, so go for it. So the second group of gifts called the interpretive gifts. The interpretive gifts are very close to the spoken gifts, and to some extent, the distinction is artificial. However, the interpretive gifts generally go beyond a word or concept spoken and go into insight of what is happening in the situation. Okay, now the first one in this category is called prophecy. Man, I love prophecy. Prophecy, for me, is the starting point. It unlocks all the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy is a message from God to a person or group of people, but prophecy, for me, is ultimately revealing the heart of the Father to someone. It unlocks identity. It unlocks destiny. You don't know who you are until God speaks. You don't. So in 2013, before we went to India, I had no idea who I was. And just before we went to India, one evening, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and the Lord said to me, Andre, you are a healing evangelist. In other words, we will flow in healing and you're going to lead people to Christ and you're going to equip the saints to lead people to Christ. You're a healing evangelist. And the next day I got an email of this evangelistic outreach happening in India that they wanted me to speak at. I was like, okay, I have my word. I've never seen this in my life. I'm the praying guy. I'm not the lead people to Christ guy. I've never seen that in my life. I never experienced that anointing really. Maybe a little bit here, a little bit there. And when I received that prophetic word, it's that grace, empowerment flowed into my life. And then I started to see God move mightily. And so I want to speak this over you as well. Allow God to reveal to you who you truly are. Don't let your past tell you who you are. Don't let people tell you who you are. Allow God to reveal to you who you are. And I promise you, you are more than what you think in Him. God's plans for you are greater than what you think. So pursue prophecy. Ask God. Say, God, speak to me. Show me who I am. But the key here is seek first the kingdom of God. It's for His glory. Say, God, where do you want to use me? Get involved in church. Get involved in serving. Get involved with pursuing the kingdom. And then say, God, now show me who I am. And I believe God will begin to speak to you. Okay, so prophecy is primarily for edification, encouragement, and comfort. I don't believe this. You know, some people go around just prophesying judgment the whole time. I really don't believe that's God's heart. Yes, at times when there is blatant, unrepentant disobedience, God will call a mature believer who loves well to bring a word of warning. But I'm weary of people that go around just judging and saying, God's going to kill you and judge you. And I really don't believe that's the heart of God. I believe that's deception. God wants redemption. So if it's a word of warning, it will be a word of love as well. I love you. Turn back to obeying me. I want to bless you. Okay. There's some beautiful examples in scripture about this as well. Secondly, the discernment of spirits. This is supernatural ability to perceive the presence and nature of spirits. People with this gift can detect the presence of angels or demons. I can give you many examples of this. The one time we had evangelistic crusade in East London, we went home, and that night I could feel something's weird in the house, something's not right. And the next moment, my wife, as the lights were off, we were about to sleep, and she looked up, and she said, there's something coming through the ceiling. A demonic spirit was coming through the ceiling. She saw it. I felt that she saw it. And then we could take authority over this demonic thing and say, out in Jesus' name. Man, and then we turned around and slept like a dream. So the discernment of spirits give you an idea of what the enemy is doing. But it's also a gift that's often abused. If you only see bad things, you need to stop. You must see with the eyes of love. And even if God reveals something negative to you, ask God, but where's the good? Where's the good? I believe the discernment of spirits is often a gift that's abused by the enemy, that brings division and suspicion into churches. Don't fall for it. Always first love, benefit of the doubt, and always trust God for seeing the good. Okay, so be aware of that. Interpretation of tongues, very quickly, it's just to someone's praying in their prayer language, and then someone else can be revealed what they are praying in that mystery language. Okay, and then very quickly, the last few, the power gifts. The power gifts are linked to supernatural events that the Spirit does miraculously. First one is faith. The gift of faith goes beyond the normal measure of faith we have. It gives extraordinary confidence in God's promises, power, and presence to trust for the divine intervention of God. Many examples in the scriptures. At times I've experienced it just like, I just know God's going to heal somebody now. I just know God's going to move now. And then it happens exactly as I felt, a supernatural confidence to proclaim it and to call it out. It's a grace gift from God, not for yourself. It's not by your own ability. Secondly, gifts of healing, as I shared. I believe there's a call, and we see it from the scriptures, as Jesus commanded the disciples to, he said, heal the sick, a command. So it's a command for every believer. Go and pray for the sick and trust God to heal them. Okay, many examples of that in scriptures. The ministry of Jesus, the apostles, other disciples. It's the original blueprint or model for ministry. They would pray for the sick. They would cast out demons. They would proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand. And this is for each one. You might not be an apostle, but you can be apostolic. You can see the kingdom of God come through your prayer. So pursue that. Step out and pray. And then lastly, the working of miracles. This is supernatural signs and wonders, raising of the dead. I know of a ministry in Mexico. They've seen more than 500 people raised from the dead. Babies who were dead come to life. People that were dead come to life. It's still happening today. And we must trust God for that to happen. So conclusion. God has not left us orphans. God has not left you on your own. He's made His Spirit available to you. Believe the gifts are for you. Ask for the gifts and then step out. Even if you miss it, you pray for somebody, nothing happens, pray again and pray again and ask God for more of His Spirit and pray again until you see His kingdom comes. The gifts of the Spirit are to love people well and to bring glory to Jesus Christ. So let me pray for us. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you release the power of your Holy Spirit over your children. Lord, I pray for all nine of these gifts to be released. Lord, I pray that your people will desire it, pursue it, and have the boldness to step out and love people well. Holy Spirit, move them, lead them, and we pray that Jesus Christ would be glorified every moment. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Bless you.
Take 15 minutes to reflect on and discuss the following points together with others in the class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the points by yourself. You can find the discussion points in your Bible school handbook. Look out for the Living the Word sections in each session.